let's look at another. There's three things. Just remember, PHP, punishment first. John 14. John 14 and verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not be orphans. I will come to you. This H word is helper or Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within you as a child of God. In verse 26, we see that, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. The Holy Spirit's there to guide and direct us in our lives. So first thing, we get punished for when we get into sin. We're guided and directed by the Holy Spirit. That's the second thing. And then in John 14, in verse 27 is the last thing. It's another P word, peace. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Three things. Punishment for sons. If you don't get punished by God, you're illegitimate. Second of all, a helper or the Holy Spirit. And third, he gives you peace. And I'm sure Noah had all three of these things. Especially peace. Because in order to build an ark when it never rained, in order to take the abuse, I'm sure that man gave him building this this is not a little thing. It's not a little at all. The ark. 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, 450 feet long. That's big. Scholars said that it could hold approximately 43,000 tons. That's a lot. That's a lot. Figuring a semi going down the road is only 40 ton. And this is 43,000 ton. He had to have peace, friends. And I ask you tonight, do you have peace? Do you know God? We heard about that this morning. I want the peace that you have. And you can have it as a child of God. But God remembered Noah because he was his own. And he remembered every living thing and the animals that were in the ark. God promises. And their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Hebrews 10:17 means that God doesn't hold our sins against us or treat us as sinners. So God pays attention to his promises. To remember, which that implies a previous commitment made by God and announces the fulfillment of that commitment. Noah, his family, and the animals, they've been together in this ark for over a year now. I bet it was pretty smelly. I bet there was a lot of togetherness in that ship. But God remembered Noah. And he doesn't ever forget. But God remembers. And he knows. And he always fulfills his promise. It's his character. Our God is a God of love because he's faithful. He can never deny himself or his word. And he's a faithful God. He can never change because he's immutable. He's perfect. He's holy. And we can depend on him no matter what our circumstances or no matter how we feel, we can depend on him. Verse 2. this, the fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped. That must have been some sight, all that rain. So this torrential rain and eruptions of water from beneath the earth ceased. And then God caused the water to receive and leave dry land behind. Maybe some of you say, where did all this water go? Where did it go? I mean, that's a lot of water over all the mountains. Many of you have seen the mountains. They're huge. They were covered with water. Where did it go? Well, I don't know about some of you, but water is strange. If you've ever seen documentaries on dams breaking, how they just devastate everything. They cut huge crevices. And I'm sure like our Grand Canyon was created by receding waters. I know particularly of a situation where there was a dam dammed up. It was a man-made dam just for some construction process. The whole thing released all the water by a simple footprint. They just set their foot in the top of the dam and let a little trickle come out of that dam. And it just kept working and working and working. And all the water, gone. Just like that. And I'm sure that these receding waters just totally altered the land as they knew it. And also, a God that could create all these eruptions of water out of the earth could also bring them back in. So, in verse 3, we see all the waters receding. And then in verse 4, we see the ark coming to rest. And I did do some research on the internet with this, and you know, they've really tried to find the ark, but I could not find anything that had showed where they had found. I found some documentaries that had said that they had found wood that dated back to that area, washed from streams, but they have no definite ark findings that I could find. But it's supposed to be in Turkey, and this country has limited access for one thing, and there's probably only a month of the year that they could even explore these mountains. So God has preserved its secretness. But it did rest very safely in these mountains. And in verse 6, we find that Noah opened the window of the ark which he made. And then I found something very peculiar, that he sent this raven out in verse 7. You know, the raven. Why would he send that bird out? He sends this bird out. It never comes back. You know, this meat-eating animal. And then I read other places that this meat, this unclean, first of all, it's an unclean animal. And you know God's relationship, clean and unclean animals. This unclean animal went out and flew out. And I'm sure it was perfectly satisfied with feeding on the dead carcasses that floated and just picking at them. But then he sends out a dove. And the dove goes out. And this dove, it has nowhere to lay its foot down. So what does it do? It doesn't go after all these animals floating. But it flies back. And so the first time, another thing I noticed, it was very godlike. Everything's in sevens. You ever notice that? God's number? Seven. 7 days. He got into the ark 7 days before. And another, he sent out the raven. And then he sent out the dove. And then another 7 days, he sent out the dove again. And then she returned with that olive branch. And that's in the mouth. And that's the symbol today, as we all know. And symbol of peace. And that is true. Then no one knew that the waters were receding. And then he sent out the dove again after another 7 days. There's God's number again, 7 days. And it did not return to him anymore. You know, Noah obeyed God. I just find that so amazing. And then he waited another 7 days. And the surface of the ground was dry. But Noah didn't go out. And you know, a lot of times ground looks dry, you know, and it's not. It's still, and there could be dry on top and it could be muddy underneath. And Noah just sits there and waits in the ark. And that's the way we should be. Wait on God's word. Wait for him to tell us what to do. That's a lesson I got to learn, because I'm one of these guys that likes to get a bowl in a china closet. Let's go get in there and get it done. But Noah just waited. You know, he just waited. And I imagine if he would have went on out, he'd have got, it might have been dry exactly where he was, but 50 feet away, he might have sunk up to his shoulders in mud, because it takes a long time for ground to dry out. But then we find in verse 15, God spoke to Noah, and he says, get out of the ark, you and your wife, your sons and your sons' wives, and bring out every living thing of all flesh that is with you, everything. And so Noah went out, and you notice here that he gives another commandment that we've seen once before in Genesis. He says, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So God gives that command again. So we see all these beasts and all these creeping things and all the birds went out of the ark. And then comes a very critical step in verse 20, where Noah offers worship to God. He builds an altar first. And then he took every clean animal. Notice the word clean animal. And every clean bird, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. So here's Noah offering these things up to God. And then the Lord smelled a soothing aroma, and the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imagination of the man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. There's one of God's promises. God promises three things that I found very interesting. First of all, the ground will be cursed no more. No more universal floods and no interruption in the cycle of nature. We found that in verses 21 and 22. The ground cursed no more. God had cursed the ground, first of all, because of Adam's sin. And he added a further curse because of Cain's sin. And then God's promise recorded here didn't stop those. And they won't be removed until Jesus returns and God's people dwell in the holy city. And no more universal floods. God also determined that there would be no future floods. And the flood wiped out the transgressors. But it couldn't change hearts, could it? It can't change our hearts. There's only one thing that can change our hearts, and that's the Lord Jesus. And therefore, to have another judgment wouldn't solve the problem. So he did not send another flood. Let's turn to Peter 3. Peter 3. Peter 3, and that'd be 2 Peter 3, excuse me. 2 Peter chapter 3. And let's just start with one. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. It talks about the flood there, and how the world that then existed perished. But we're going to see this again. Notice in verse 3, knowing that this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. We only have to turn on the news to notice this, guys. People always mock God. They always mock the Lord Jesus Christ. They always mock Christians. You just don't have to look around too much to see that. But it was like that in Noah's days. So what I'm trying to say is we're entering into the last days. And it won't be not too much longer, and the Lord will come back. So in you want to make sure that you're God's own. You know God personally. You know Him as Savior. You need to realize that He died for you. And to know Him personally, and to know Him means a life of heaven after we die. To not know Him means a life of destruction, much like the people in the flood. And especially you young people, you know, you've got a lot of pressure in schools and peer pressure that, you know, they think Christianity is a joke. That's what a lot of people think. That's what I would have thought when I was growing up, but it's not. It's real. It's real. I remember the days when I was thinking about God before I knew Him, and I remember thinking, you know, if this God is really true, if He's really there, I want to be a part of Him. And He revealed Himself, because the scripture says that He searches the earth, goes to and fro, searches out those who are searching Him. And if you're searching Him, you need to. And He will reveal Himself to you. And a lot of things, you know, a lot of people think that it's just an act. It's just religion. That's religion. To go through the motion is religion. I'm sure in Noah's day there was people that were religious, and that they just practiced good religion that they thought. And I'm sure some of them sacrificed their own children. They thought that was what God wanted. That's not what God wants. But the Word of God is true, and it's forever. And Noah was a man that was in balance with God. And you know, a lot of times we're not in balance with God. Maybe you're not a believer. You're definitely not in balance at all with God. But if you are a believer, and maybe you're out of balance with God, and you know, you need to look at it. Notice here what Noah did. He worshiped. And I want to challenge others here. Do you worship God? Do you worship Him? You know, that's part of being in balance. Let's go to 2 Peter. Second Peter, and let's go to chapter 2. First Peter 2. And I want to talk just a brief time here about worship. And that was a key thing for Noah. He worshiped God. And verse 4, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. Folks, we are meant to worship something in life. And Noah, he worshiped God. What are you worshiping? And I have to ask myself this too. What are you worshiping? What do you worship? If you know him. You know, we have a special time here, Bethany, on Sunday mornings, and we worship God through the bread and through the wine, through a communion, and we offer the fruit of our lips. And are you building yourself up, and especially you young people, are you building up a spiritual house? You know, God asks you to worship too. Are you offering the fruit of your lips? Are you offering why Jesus Christ is important to you? Now, you may not be audibly doing it. You may be doing it not audibly, but you need to be doing it if you're going to be in balance. Are you going to be in balance? Or are you going to be out of balance? You're going to worship something. I guarantee it. You're going to worship something. You're going to worship either the things of this life. You know, and that the things of this life might be vehicles, might be the opposite sex, it might be money, it might be, you might be worshiping a career, you might be worshiping your education, you might be worshiping your family, but you won't be worshiping God now, will you be? Just read Ecclesiastes and I'll tell you that all is vanity. Except for what is God's. So we need to get in balance like Noah did. We need to worship him. And in verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You're a chosen generation. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness. So you can be like Noah and proclaim the praises of God. You can proclaim what he has done. And you were, notice here, this is very interesting, that in verse 10, who once were not a people. If you didn't know God, he doesn't consider you part of his people, but now are the people of God. So that means there's definitely people that are not of God. And many times people, you know, I hear this all the time. I believe, but even the demons believe. And it says, the word of God says that they tremble. They tremble. So it's more than just believing. It's doing. And we need to be like Noah. Be in balance. Worship God. Do what he says. You know, it's the hardest thing to do, what God wants us to do. But good Noah did. And he's a great example. He made the hall of faith. Not the hall of fame, but the hall of faith. And we need to pattern our life after that. Because if we don't, whatever else we do doesn't really matter, does it? So we need to be in balance. So as I better, if you know him, Are you being punished, being chastised by God? If he is, if you are, that's a great thing because it means you're his own. But he wants you to do something different. You need to go a different direction. Do you have the Holy Spirit or the Helper with you? Do you find that you have peace when we talk about God? When you think about God, do you have peace? If you don't have peace, if you don't have peace, you need to get in the book, in the Word of God, and read it. And see what it says about you. That's what you need to do. It's simple. And God remembered Noah. Does he remember you? Think about it. And think about what he says in worshiping him. And with that, let's end in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that we thank you for Noah. We thank you for the example that he was, the man that was not afraid to stand up for you. And Lord, I pray for each one in the gathering here today that they would not be afraid to stand up for you. They would not be afraid to do your work. And I pray for myself also because I fall short so many times, Lord. And Lord, we also would just pray that you would guide and direct each one of our lives and guide this chapel and this as we go day by day. Help us all to live more for you. And Lord, help us remember Noah and what he did. And Lord, I just pray that we worship you in your own appointed way, that we give you the honor and the glory, and we don't give the glory to our jobs or our education or our knowledge, but we give it to you, the one who died for us, the one who set himself on the cross and died in our place and for our sins. And we just thank you that we could be a part of this. Thank you for all these things in your precious name. Amen.